In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now Turpin fields the kick, deep, dances, and running it out, left to the 30, to the 40, to midfield, Turpin's got the Jets going, 10-5, touchdown by the league's leading kickoff returner, and everybody's hanky is in its pocket.
Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Even if you're not thrilled that the Cowboys won, we have a short work week. Maybe you've already started your vacation. It is a Cowboys Monday on your official home of America's team with Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider back from FedEx Field, Bobby Roberto Belt, along with Peyton, Caitlin, and I see Carter back there running everything with the video.
Do you have any problem with Joe Davis's call of the Turpin trip? I know objectively with the next gen stats top speed, Turpin has run the fastest, but I don't feel like anybody's identified Turpin as the fastest man in the NFL.
They did say yesterday on the TV broadcast that he had the that touchdown on the slant was the fastest.
Yeah, that he had the top speed. Right. But is that like, that's game speed? Is that like, I feel like everybody just goes Tyreek Hill. Like that's the fastest person like in a vacuum. I just don't know if I don't know if like calling him that, that feels like a title you give to somebody is just
perfect example.
I was listening to Joe Davis say, this is the worst special teams game I've ever seen in my entire life up until that point.
What matters more, game speed or actual speed? Because if you don't run your actual speed in the game, does the game speed, like there are, they do that, the radar gun on quarterbacks at the combine.
I still feel like game speed, Tyreek Hill's the fastest player.
Sure, but like, you know, if you have a quarterback, I think, was it Baker? Baker threw the ball as fast as Josh Allen in the combine. Does that mean? Right. But he doesn't throw that hard in the game, necessarily.
My question with the Michael Jackson spin move after that amazing all-time special teams highlight. Let me hear that again.
Tee-hee.
You think that's a good Michael Jackson?
It's higher and more singy.
Was it tee-hee?
Tee-hee.
Okay.
Yeah, I was doing it half-hearted.
Kevontae Turpin, like your all your work. Kevontae Turpin is the what best player on the Dallas Cowboys?
Currently with their injuries? I don't know. He's probably, I don't think of him as being in their top 15.
Really?
Before injuries. With injuries, it's different to, I'd have to think through it. Probably he's, I don't know, he's top 10 with injuries, maybe.
Okay. Like, Lamb is better at what he does. Micah is better at what he does.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, if I were to just roll down the road, I think Jordan Lewis is a better player than Kevontae Turpin. I think, even if you want to go to the kicker, Brandon Aubrey, up until yesterday, where he starts missing all these 30-yard kicks.
Because I was thinking, if Turpin was actually put up at the trade deadline, he's so dangerous and so scary. I was holding out hope that if I was the fan base of another team contending, I'd be like, okay, if they gave up a fourth for him, I would not be upset. That was allowing my imagination to run wild over what he can do back there. And I know Belichick is obsessed with Turpin.
Maybe in certain, if you talk about what he could do on your special teams and you get him in the hands of certain offensive systems that feel like, oh, he can play this role for us. Like, I don't know, does Turpin in Kansas City, can he do Tyreek Hill type of stuff for them?
I mean, they're just now figuring out how to use Xavier Worthy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, I gave Jordan Lewis a star up as well. Star up, star down, brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey of the NFL. Jordan Lewis, he was matched up against Terry McLaurin, had a return strip, so his toughness just jumps out. It's okay. Someone's making a tackle with a lot of effort. It's usually going to be Jordan Lewis. Mike McCarthy giving props to his defense after the win.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the defense is getting better. You know, I just think, it, you know, you can just see it, you know, the understanding and all the way around. I mean, you know, the staff, the players, just, you know, we had some just out of balance games. I mean, and it's just good to see where we've learned from it. We're getting players back. I mean, it's great to have Deron back today, you know, so, you know, he played to his pitch count, so it was good to see. And, you know, I think Mike is back. You know, so you know, full speed and able to play the whole deal there. But with the changes in the secondary, I thought our coaches and in the secondary guys did a really nice job of rolling in there. And I mean, what can you say about Josh Butler, Kamon Hall? I mean, so these guys have really earned the opportunity, and you love to reward your young players that just continue to work. And not only did they, you know, have the opportunity today, but they made plays. So just once again, we're a growing football team. You know, I think you're starting to see the benefit of a lot of young players playing early, and hopefully the fruits of those moments are starting to come into play here. You know, because obviously we got a quick one here coming up on Thursday.
Huge star ups to Deron Bland and Josh Butler as well. And a couple of fourth quarter notes on this. Washington with a minus 40 point differential in the fourth quarter as this game was taking place.
Wow.
And the Cowboys 10-9 lead was their first in the fourth quarter since week five.
That's crazy.
Week five had a fourth quarter
lead.
Crazy.
And that was the Pittsburgh game, right? You know, there's a lot to be said about the secondary being like the ultimate weak link. That and the offensive line, that they're going to target the weakest of that. And remember when we had on, it was Thomas Dimitroff and the other, Eric Eager.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, the fourth corner, your top edge rusher is more important than your top corner. But your fourth corner is more important than your fourth defensive lineman because they'll target that. They played really good team secondary defense. Like they there was, it was consistency. There wasn't mistakes. There wasn't mental lapses. And it really showed. Now, at the end, you had that. At the very, very end, when Washington was able to move the ball late in the fourth quarter. But prior to that, that was stifling.
How are you feeling about the win? Are you upset on behalf of Team Tank? Or are you, you know what? I want the better draft pick, but you're still beating a division rival and it still feels good. 877-881-1053 to hit us up on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Steven Red Oak, you are up first here on Sean and RJ. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, we're the Cowboys. When we come to town, you better step aside. You hear? That's from Tombstone, all right? Why would I want to lose? How do you tell an 8-year-old boy that you're sitting with watching the football game, hey, we want to lose because we want a better draft choice?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's not that hard to explain, really, Steve. You say, hey, do you want a new jersey or do you want to keep wearing Dak Prescott's? Do you want a new fun jersey and a reason that this team could keep them on? Keep him on. Don't leave him off. He can respond.
You played the game to win.
Oh,
you don't
God.
Play
Jesus.
To lose.
Shut up. Now get him. Just stop. You old fogies. Just
you
stop. Just stop it.
Game.
You think you have more of a winning culture and you have it rolling through your. No, use your damn brain. Stop using your heart. Stop using what's running through your veins and use your damn head. This team is not going anywhere. And if you think they can make a magical run, you don't get any turkey this year. Stop.
No turkey.
You tofu turkey for you in your house.
We're not even having
Be
it.
Be intelligent. Be smart. So you winning culture. So the Dallas Cowboys are obviously going to flip the switch on a winning culture. Stop it. You sound idiotic. You sound crazy. Just, I'm so tired of the old fogey sitting on your couch. Winning. How am I going to explain to my kid? What did you explain to them all the other weeks? They're used to it now. They suck. They've been sucking. Your kid knows they suck. Is he still crying or whining, tears are flowing? Then don't have him watch the games. Get a Zeke Elliott back in the day. You want a new jersey? You want something else fun to root for? You want a new quarterback? You want future hope? Let's stop hanging on to this 3-hour, 4-hour. This is going to make your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday that much better before Thursday against the Giants. In the first half, stop. In the first half, you weren't saying this is preseason garbage and crap. This whole thing needs to be blown up. So did you say that up before yesterday, the whole thing needs to be blown up? Yes, you did. But now because of 3.5 hours of ugly football, that changes your mind? Come on now. Don't get caught in the moment too much.
They're still going to blow it up, right? So that part of it
No, they're going to run with Cooper Rush. They're going to go on a run. Micah, we ain't done yet.
That part of it's still getting saved.
Crap.
They're still going to blow it up.
877-881-1053. Rocky in Missouri. Go ahead, Rocky.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So here's what I want to ask you. Well, when we did draft, you had Morris Claiborne. We took a Terrence Newman early that I never really liked that much. So
Newman had a real good career.
Newman trash. And then you had Tyron Smith drafted at, what, 9? You had Micah drafted at 11. You get Zach Martin at, what, like 17? Where was CD taken? I mean, you let the chips fall where they may, and you try to draft the best player available. I think we've done well in the mid-round of that, and I just feel like we've missed in that early part of the first round. So if you're getting me another Morris Claiborne in the top 5, or you're getting me a running back too early, just play to win the damn game.
Well, you don't know.
You don't know. That's the thing. You don't know.
The point of all this is putting yourself in the best position in order to hit with the dart. You can't say, if we get Mo Claiborne, I just want to win. You can't have it both ways. Like, you can't use your future ball here.
No, and there's enough. There's years and histories of
And by the way, I'm not evidence. Mad at the players. I'm not mad at the coaching staff. I'm not mad at the organization. I'm just talking about for my own personal rooting interest, what I wanted to see happen yesterday. I'm not mad at them for trying. They're professional athletes who get paid and have a sense of pride. Well, good for them. Good for them winning, but it's not what I wanted to happen.
No, I mean, look, watching, you know, and there's two things can happen here.
Two things.
You can watch the game and want them to win while you're watching it and then regret it like hell the next day.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens. Like, you know, like what I'm watching, I don't want to watch the game and watch them lose.
Yeah.
I want to watch an entertaining game they wind up winning. And then I want to regret it the next day. And that's what
I want to be happy though on draft day too.
Yeah. Now,
I know it's like all I care about is now in the moment, but I want to be really excited for the offseason, the draft buildup and draft day. I want to be as excited as possible.
Yeah, and now look, there's no guarantee, and it's about.
I want to make the draft show worth watching again, despite what Eric Chiafalo says.
So like,
make the draft show great again.
There's no guarantee that picking 7th means you're going to get a better player than 11th.
Of course.
You may get your first choice of player, but your first choice of player might not be as good as your second choice.
No doubt.
And it happens every year. I mean, you can go down a draft, and you can look at every year the person picked behind or the second person in that position group winds up being better.
It happens. That is a terrible player to invoke their name to, Terrence Newman. That is a two-time Pro Bowler and 15-year starter in the NFL. If you told any team they're picking Terrence Newman at 5, they're saying, okay.
And do you all...
Yeah, you get a 15-year starter, you are taking that person. You take him number one
sometimes,
for a
15-year starter. Sometimes, man, Cowboy fans, sometimes you do deserve a little bit of what you get. I'm sorry. Like, you want Jerry and Steven to have any reason to keep the status quo? Do you? Y'all been saying this whole time you want them to suffer and know they have to blow it up. So now you want to go 7-10? That's going to make you feel good? You want to give them, and it has to be no doubt. There has to be zero doubt left that major philosophical cultural change has to take place. You're not getting that with a little winning streak. You might still get it, but I'd rather go the other way and make sure you're erasing any inkling they may have to think that. Brian and Austin, you're up next here on The Fan. Go ahead.
Well, I guess you're going to go off on me too, because I'd rather win every week as much as possible than be sitting here pissed off that we lost. Now, there's a lot of things that I don't like that from Jerry to the coaching staff, the positions that they have some players playing. Like Guyton. Guyton played over 1,000 snaps at right tackle in college, and they moved him to left. But really, I blame everything on the players, because they do not understand that they're playing for the Cowboys for some reason. I don't know where.
Brian, let me ask you a question real quick. Would you rather go 8-9 or 3-14?
I'd rather go 8-9.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone who answers 8-9, you got to get your team building card revoked. Don't say anything else about Jerry and Stephen Jones building. If you would rather go 8-9 than 3-14, you can't kill them. You can't criticize
them. The quickest way to get better is to be bad. That is the quickest way to get better.
Yeah, and
it's
I mean,
not even close.
Look, they're
8-9. They could say we missed our quarterback. Like,
yeah,
oh, we just need our quarter. We just need Dak.
Yeah.
Back.
Well, how do you get a quarterback? You gotta be 3-14.
How do they think Jason Garrett stayed around for so long at 8-8? Is yeah. it because like, oh, three we're straight just years? We're right on the edge. We're right on the precipice.
All right, let's get one Odyssey app message before Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. Pepe, who we got?
Yeah, so we have Takaris in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on the Odyssey app. He left a message here, and is he happy or sad that the Cowboys won last night?
And I want to say I echo everything you guys are saying. Yes. Great win. If we're going to win a game, let's win that game. Let's humble those folks. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
And the Giants, come on in. Run us over. 40-0. I don't even care. And let's get that top five pick. I want Travis Hunter. And I also want Deion, which you already know that, don't you, Sean? We'll talk.
Peyton, send me his info.
Can he voice a new great, intro for us or something?
Holy, I want to find out if he's single. 877. What's his name?
Takaris in Atlanta.
Takaris in Atlanta. Please make that a weekly. Nick Eatman is back. He's texting me about Tutty on the side. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com after this.
And it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by the personal injury lawyers, Frankel and Frankel. If you've been injured in a car or truck, right, call Frankel first. 214-817-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck attorneys in Dallas.
Snap, low. Trustway gets it down. No. Cyber's kick.
Bad freaking snap. Bad snap.
A bad snap. They got the hold down. It's Cyber. Missed it left.
Did I hear the color guy early?
Freaking.
No.
He said freaking.
Did he? Let me hear it again.
Trustway gets it down. No. Cyber's kick.
Bad freaking snap. Bad snap.
A bad snap.
Commanders Radio with the call. Let's bring in a Cowboy historian, insider, mascot, observer, back from Washington with Bobby Belt, Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. All right, Cowboys historian, craziest game since when?
Man, I the only game, I mean, I can't think of that many anywhere close to this. I mean, probably like that the 07 Buffalo game where Romo threw the five picks and still they figured out a way to win and two long field goals there. Like, something like that. It was just somewhere. It's just back and forth. But it was exhausting. It was an exhausting game, and it was why. And Bobby could tell you this too. I mean, it was like nobody. I don't think said anything on the plane. Like, it was pretty quiet. I think everyone was just worn out.
How many different, all right, this is over moments did you have? How many times did you ping pong between, all right, they're going to win? Was it once? Was it three times? When did you say it to yourself?
Well, honestly, I guess that being said, I kind of leaned over to the guy next to me and go, he's going to miss this. Because that's just how weird this game was. So I guess the only way I would have thought it's over is if they would have just gone for two and let Jaden Daniels run. Because they're not going to tackle him for 2 yards. So I was a little surprised now. You know, I understand he's not thinking that clear. You know, you don't expect to score in the one play. Dan Quinn didn't expect to score that quickly. But, you know, it made way more sense to just go for it because the kicker had already struggled. He'd missed two. And then what are you going to go to overtime with a kicker that's struggling? Like, I don't know. I would have just gone. I mean, in hindsight, of course, you know, if your kicker's going to kick it to Baltimore over there, then yeah, I mean, you would do that. But it was just a crazy moment. But, I mean, I'll say this, like, they don't have the better record, obviously, but the Cowboys were a better team in that game. To me, I think they were better the entire game, and I don't think that they stole a win or anything like that. I think they were the better team.
Dan Quinn afterwards saying no thought about going for two after the McLaurin touchdown.
Oh, man, Dan, that's you and Big Mike, I think they need to go through continuing education. I think all coaches should have to go through continuing education to learn when to go for two and when not to.
Well, it's like kind of like to Eatman's point there. Like, to me, the two questions are who's the better football team and who's playing better that day?
Sure.
If you think Washington, you know, if you're Dan Quinn, you're like, we're the better team. Let's keep it going. Mm-hmm. But are we playing better today? What did our kicker just do? What has our kicker been doing? Right. Are we stopping them? All those things playing into it.
I mean, what if they would have gone to overtime and then, you know, Dallas wins the toss? I mean, are you going to kick off the Turpin again? I mean, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aubrey, 66-yarder.
Yeah. I mean, like the advantages for the Cowboys in overtime were the better. But, I mean, like, two-point plays, I just have a hard time thinking if you, like, rolled Daniels around the edge, like, he could just dive for two. He's so mm-hmm. tall and lanky. He's tough to get.
Nick Eatman joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on 105.3 The Fan. Remind us and refresh us on Josh Butler's story.
So he's been on the practice squad, I think, at least last year and this year, maybe even longer than that. He's, like, honestly, like, he's kind of a forgotten type player, and I hate to say that for him, but, you know, he's just kind of just been around. He's just one of those guys, you know, they keep 30 guys on the practice squad, so he's just kind of, you know, he's just around. But because of the injuries and because of everything that's happened this year with, you know, Diggs here and Bland and Carson and everyone out, it's like we got to have somebody, you know. And he was just a scrapper. I mean, like, you know, any cornerback that gets 12 tackles, okay, it's not the greatest day.
Yeah.
You know, you're not a linebacker that's just hunting the ball. I mean, they're going after you. But, you know, he's making the tackles. You could tell he was competing. Now, he had something to do on that McLaurin touchdown as well. But, you know, they all did, or didn't, I guess, have anything to do with it. But I thought Butler just played really well in the game, and he's just one of those examples of guys that just, you know, you keep fighting. I mean, you're on the practice squad. You know, you're not giving up on your dream. You're still fighting. And then when you start your opportunity, go make plays. He did a pretty good job last week. And, you know, we keep waiting for Diggs and Bland to play together. I thought it might be this game. Maybe it's the next game. But in the meantime, you know, Butler did a really good job in that game.
Maybe it is the next game. But fast forward a few months, like, what are the chances that both Diggs and Bland are here next year?
Diggs and Bland here next year. I mean, I would say pretty good. I mean, Bland would be entering his last year, right, of his contract, his fourth year. You know, still some value there, I, unless they want to try to get ahead of it with a contract. But, you know, I think that Diggs was a part of some trade talk from other teams. From other teams, like, trying, you know, like throwing that out there. And I just don't think the Cowboys were interested in parting ways with that. And, you know, I mean, I still feel like they got a good player. And to be honest, I mean, I think he's playing pretty well. And you know, it kind of bothers me a little bit because of the narrative that these guys get. You know, like, Diggs takes a lot more heat. And I said this to Bobby in the press box. I mean, imagine if Diggs had gotten pancaked in the middle of the field for a touchdown. Imagine what Twitter would do then. But Deron Bland does it, and it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, get up, man. All right, go make a play. You know, and that's just kind of the way it is. And so, I could see them both being back next year.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. All right, Nick, I think that this was arguably the best coaching job all around that the Cowboys have had this year. I thought McCarthy's game plan with the limitations on the offensive line was really strong. I think Mike Zimmer did a lot to really confuse Jaden Daniels. How did you feel about what Zimmer and McCarthy came in there with yesterday?
I thought it was great as well. And, you know, ironically, or sadly, I guess you could say, is that the coaching job is being talked about with you know, Wanya Thomas and why didn't he get down and all that kind of stuff and giving up a long touchdown at the end of the game. But I mean, for the most part, the game plan, you know, and it starts with McCarthy, just also with the mindset of going in there. You know, everyone keeps saying, well, they should give up draft picks, ball, that stuff. These guys are trying to win. And it was clear. And I thought you're right about that. I thought the defense did a really, really great job of showing different looks. If you just watch, you know, Micah, I like what we're seeing there now. I think he's moving around way more than I've seen before. And I think that, you know, that's always a credit to other guys as well. The understanding of the other players that can flop around. That means Overshone's doing stuff here. Golston's moving around. Golston had a really good game, I thought. Not just the interception, but, I mean, I thought he was very active as well. So it was a really good game plan and a good mindset overall for this team going up there thinking, hey, regardless of the score, regardless of the situation, losing streak, they're going to go, you know, here to play, here to win.
Does the performance yesterday solidify that Cooper Rush is starting for this football team the rest of this year?
Probably, but it's okay. I thought the play for Trey Lance getting in the game, it was one of my, you know, I write an article of five hidden plays, you know, don't forget these plays. And that one was one that I thought helped them. Even though it was a 3-yard loss, I think what it did with Washington's defense kind of is like, all right, you know, we've got to account for this. Plus, it moved him back, helped him score a touchdown. Now, I mean, I'm saying, hey, little victories right now, Sean.
Yes.
All right, we got first and goal.
Lose three.
Yards. You need more room. Need more room to work with.
I know.
I'm not saying that was the plan. What I'm just all saying is that I think that oddly helped them in that scenario. But I do think you're going to see more chances with Trey Lance out there. They're starting to put it in. You know, there was a couple here and there. I think everyone wants to see a little bit more. But you know, Cooper Rush did exactly what he does. He manages the football game and, for the most part, doesn't make mistakes. I think he's in much better rhythm. We thought he was going to be better than that when he started, and he just wasn't. Maybe he did have a neck strain in that first Philly game. Who knows? But he's playing like the Cooper Rush that we expected.
Nick Even, DallasCowboys.com on a Cowboys Monday with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Micah tweeted after, like I said, we ain't done. Hush, hush, hush emoji. Next four, Giants, Bengals, Panthers, Bucks. How far should Cowboy fans dream?
Yeah, I honestly have this really, really bad feel. Not bad, but it's a weird feeling about this Giants game right here. I don't know why I started like looking into some of their stories and the quotes, and it's a dysfunctional situation they've got over there right now. But just the embarrassed talk and all that, I think you're going to get a really tough matchup. For some reason, this one, I don't know why, Tommy DeVito, but I just think they're going to come here and it's going to be a tough game. Now, I still think the Cowboys should win. I think they have much better talent. They had much better talent. They played them in week 4. So I think they should be somewhat healthier. But as far as dreaming, I mean, they'll be favored in all 4 games, right? In the next 4 games.
No,
they're going to be favored against Cincy.
Or Tampa.
Tampa?
I don't think so.
Tampa will be a 4-point favorite.
In Arlington?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to be favored in all 4.
Definitely Tampa. We'll see about Cincinnati, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to try to argue with the guru over here.
I'll tell you this: would it surprise me if the Cowboys beat Cincy? Not in the least.
Right,
Cincinnati they beat themselves.
Yeah,
stop.
Yeah, and that's why I would just think maybe I can see the Cowboys being like a 1 or 2 point. Either way, they have a chance to win. But here's the thing, like. And I wrote this in my article, that the game was drunk. I mean, the game was absolutely drunk. Now, look at this Cowboys team. They're 4-2 on the road. I mean, the Chiefs don't handle their business yesterday. They're 4-2 on the road. 4-2 is a really good NFL record. 0-5 at home. 0-5 at home. 4-2 on the road. That is drunk. So, that game just kind of was the epitome of what this season is.
Yeah.
And – you know, so yeah, you got all these games at home, but what does that mean? Is that good? But you know, I'm New Orleans. I'll never understand that game. Baltimore, Detroit, Philly. Those are really good teams. Houston, I guess. But the Cowboys should have a chance if they can get these guys healthy. I think the win was really big to say, all right, we're not shutting things down. You know, everyone's still playing. If you can get back. I think Tank Lawrence is one to watch here. You know, can he, when does he come back? Does he come back this year? But I think a win against the Giants this Thursday would really help things. Like, all right, now let's make this one last push.
Thank you, brother. Get some rest. We appreciate you.
Okay. See you guys. See you.
Nick Eatman here on The Fan, brought to you by Windstar.
So the Cowboys are a 4-point favorite over the Giants.
Yeah.
This week, right? Okay. So subtract about 2 points for home field. Right. So that's really neutral field. There are 2-point favorite over the Giants. Tampa was just a 6-point road favorite over New York. So you got to add 2 points. That means Tampa's an 8-point favorite over the Giants on a neutral field. It's going to be 4-6.
And the Cowboys right now are 3.5 over the Giants.
Yeah, so it's going to be 3-5.
They're going to, Cincy and Tampa are going to be favored. Nick, this is not the game, but it's fine. It's fine. He's innocent. Let's cross. And you're 8-0 degenerate?
7-0 in college.
Undefeated in college. Crosstalk with the KFC Masterpiece is next.
And it's back to Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan segment here, brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine is the number one Chevy dealer in the world. More Silverados than anyone else. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, enjoy the difference based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023.
Seibert booms it to the left. It is covered, and Thomas running it back. Wanyee Thomas with the Cowboys' second kickoff return for a touchdown in the game. This game is drunk.
Crosstalk with a KMC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Kevin Hagman, Mike Bassett. Good morning, Corey Majors. What's coming up?
Guys, we talked with Stephen Jones about the win yesterday and how important it was to this season.
Are you gonna ask him if Jerry was holding the play sheet?
At the end?
Yeah. Did you see that?
I can ask him.
Did you see that, Mike?
No.
So Jerry's holding a laminated sheet, it looks like, and people are like, oh. So now he's monitoring. He's got the play calls up there. He is the
head coach.
Maybe
he just likes to know what's going on.
It's the roster, right? It's the flip card. Yeah. It's the flip card. Don't ask Steven.
Okay. All right.
I think you can ask him if he's upset that they won.
Ask it the different way.
Yeah.
How proud of you of your guys for yesterday's effort?
How much prouder would you have been if you moved up in the draft ranking?
Are you? Did you go full team tank?
Look. I want to be able to eat turkey. I heard what you're saying to the callers. I understand logically 1,000,000,000% why I should want them to lose. But there were a couple of plays, like including the missed extra point, that I was like, yes, they missed. I can't help it.
Yeah, in the moment.
Who's supposed to lose, though? And I'm being serious about this question.
Cowboys.
Who's supposed to? In the Cowboys. Oh. Is it the coach? That's on his way out. He's supposed to tank for the team that he's leaving.
No.
Is it the players?
Don't start that, Corey.
No, I'm just serious.
You've had a short fuse with some folks today.
Did you not get any rest?
I can't stand when people are like, well, are you going to tell the players to lose?
It's a reality.
No, it's just what you want to happen in the game. It's not you expecting Mike McCarthy to call dumb plays or telling players to run out of bounds or purposely fumble.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, that's not even in the
general
discussion.
Manager does it. I know. Through baseball, when I was with the Mets in 2003, we were having a bad year. And
Steve
so
there still?
He had got fired, and Steve Phillips had gotten fired as Duquette. Is you just start calling guys up. You just start giving.
And yesterday was a great attempt at it. You had no digs. Zach, Tyler, Cooks. Yeah. Like
you were that all your players.
The problem is you had a bunch of guys who were fighting for paychecks next year. They were giving extra effort.
And coaches who were looking for jobs.
Yeah. Some of them did do pretty good.
Coaches who want jobs next year. Yeah, it was the worst way to do it.
I think we should keep McCarthy. That's a heck of a job.
We went
Bobby,
from
let's hey.
We went from
you name another coach that could have won that game with those guys.
Hey, Bobby has.
I agree. I want to keep him.
He's giving the coaches their praise today. But no, just the Cowboy fan who is like, I'd rather go 8-9 than 3-14.
Oh, yeah. Watching the game, I want them to win while I'm watching.
And that's how I
want entertaining. And the next day, I want to regret it.
That's I got exactly. entertaining football.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I told Kevin.
The second half.
I was like, I want entertaining. Yes.
The first half was miserable preseason garbage.
Oh, so for you, would the dream result yesterday have been you got entertaining football? Cowboy
and the McLaurin play,
and Dan Quinn goes for two, and then we get the most intense reaction today, and we lose, and it's better for draft position.
Yeah, McLaurin and then 2 points.
That would have been the perfect
But I wasn't
ending.
Feeling as passionate about it in the moment as right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like when McLaurin scores, I'm like, oh, my God, what are you doing? But that's probably good. That's how I'm feeling about it in the moment. But then today and moving forward, no.
You didn't anticipate. He did not anticipate the amount of positivity he was going to get on the phones this morning. That surprised him.
You upset? Yeah. I mean, I've heard
it. It caught him off guard a lot.
Well, it's like
he fell back into the Jinty pick.
It's the reasoning.
Right, baby.
It's the reasoning of if you want to say like you did, and I know Corey feels. I'm a diehard Cowboy fan. I just can't bring myself in the moment. I know better.
Yes.
But when I hear the culture thing, that sets me off. When I hear. Oh, you know, it's bad for your locker room. And, oh, if you're going to beat a team, you know, we want to do in the NFC East. And I would just rather this than really stink it up. Those are not good reasons.
Sometimes I think that same kind of logic gets trotted out after a bowl game. You know, like if you win or lose, you can reshape the narrative based on you're like, hey, we really needed to win this. This is huge. Extra practices.
Yeah, you get those 15 extra practices.
Next year,
coaches love
kick
that.
Ass.
Right? Look at Florida State this year. Yeah. They went to the bowl game. They had those 15 extra practices.
They won.
They did. They got to win.
I thought that we were on the same like Jerry and Steven page. I thought we were all united that you wanted them to be taught a lesson and you wanted this to pain them. But no, if it could mean a little 3 out of 4 here, let's put that to the side.
Because then you can keep your playoff dream alive, even though obviously you'd probably get smoked in the wild card.
No. No playoff.
No
wild
saying,
card.
No. I'm saying playoffs, that's what baby. People...
Don't even bring it up.
That's what people are thinking. Yeah. Some people
that's
might
I'm
be thinking.
Yeah.
I'm not. No,
you can even
not.
Lose one more game and still
not.
Make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right, Mike. No, you tell them. You're 9-8, baby.
Let's go.
Playoffs.
You're a diehard Mavs fan.
Yeah.
Did you support the tanking for Lively when they got him? The idea.
100%.
Okay, you did.
In fact,
and no one can love a team more than you love the Mavericks.
No, and I will say this. Tanking is the most necessary in the NBA because all it does take is one player. Like, let's face it, as much as I'm frustrated with Luka and the team is playing their best basketball of the year without Luka, without getting Luka, you're still in the lottery just searching. But in the NBA, once you get the LeBron or the Luka type of player,
you're good for 20 years.
You're in a really good position usually, unless you get Zion and he eats himself out of the NBA.
Oh,
but
it happened.
But I look at the Cowboys right here, and to be honest, I've said this and I truly believe this. You could tell Jerry Jones, this is the next Patrick Mahomes. I'm telling, and look, I know that I don't think Patrick Mahomes is in this draft. You never know. He will not take a quarterback no matter what.
No.
Now, I get it. You could get the best offensive lineman. You could get the best defensive lineman. You could possibly trade down. The issue is nobody has multiple first-round picks this year to trade up. You'd have to trade for future first-round picks. I don't think Jerry's crazy about trading for picks in 2026 or 2027.
Yeah.
So, in a way, I get it. But I don't think the Cowboys would benefit much from picking 5th or picking 10th this year.
All right, another spat that took place Cowboy related was in the post game with Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, and Atolo.
Oh no,
Jeremy in San Antonio, what's up, dude?
Thank you for giving me some of your precious time. I need a little bit of what Uncle Jim is drinking over there in his lap because I'm not really excited about this lipstick on a pig.
Okay.
And you guys want to call us to task, the Cowboys fans, about calling in and saying we should tank.
Yeah.
At what point will you guys at the mothership hold this franchise to task?
You're full of S right now. You're completely full of S.
Jeremy, we've been doing it after
every
single postgame show.
We have our shows call these guys to task, you know? We're respectful about it.
I don't agree with that, but
okay, I don't agree with you.
And
you,
what is it that you don't agree with, Jeremy?
What more do you want us to do? What more do you want us to do?
How long does this have to go on?
Well, how much more do you mean has to go on? What more?
We're talking about how fancy and how fun this win is, and it's crap. This culture is crap. The leadership is not good.
They're going to feel okay.
At what point can we hold this franchise accountable?
We do.
At what point where you guys will... You're not. You guys
Jeremy,
are
you're full of crap. Jeremy, you're full of crap.
I did it last week.
You are so full of crap about this.
I did it last week after the loss. I said that Jerry shouldn't even be doing the interviews anymore. Jeremy, open up your damn ears and listen.
Your show.
Listen. Do you listen to the postgame show every week, Jeremy? Do you?
Every single week.
Well, then you're lying. You're lying.
You're lying right now.
Longer than you guys have been on the air.
That's fine. Okay. That's awesome.
Sure.
But if you're listening, I've done exactly that. I've done exactly that.
Look at the way you're reacting.
Look at the way you're calling in just being BS.
Oh, that could have been
bad. It's not BS.
It is BS. We hold this team accountable. Every week, Zach, we talk about this team, the losses and what to do. We talk about firing coaches. I worked at DallasCowboys.com and on that platform for 3 years and tried to fire Jason Garrett. Don't tell me about holding guys accountable here.
You're not. And
oh, whatever. Whatever. Keep it going. You're fine.
Yeah, Jeremy.
This is the problem.
You're the problem. You're the problem.
Thanks so much. Unrealistic. Thanks so much for the call.
What a little bee.
Oh my God. So I knew it was trouble straight away because I think I've been on the other end of that thing where you say something that you can tell straight away that brought us disagrees with like the basis of your argument. He goes, yep.
Yeah.
And so as soon as he did that, I was like, oh no.
I'm 90% sure that person listens to our competitor.
Why?
Because he was using ticket. Well, white people listen to our show too.
I know, only white people.
See, we have white listeners.
Where did that come from?
No.
He said, mothership. That's a ticket phrase.
That is,
that's not a phrase here. So you
isn't
can tell
he converted it.
Let us know, or let me know at least, that this person doesn't listen to the fan. If he does, it's very little. He's listening to the other station.
And I agree, because it sounded like he didn't know what he was talking
their
about.
Their commercials they have whoever. I mean, I know the people over there, Kat and Purdy, like are not Purdy, but
he works for both stations.
And
he doesn't know Corey's name.
The old white dude.
Exactly. Look at their demographics.
They run commercials that say that's what we do. So he's just calling in as a ticket listener, just repeating the commercial that they're playing. He doesn't know because he's not listening. He just decided to troll.
Yeah.
And I think he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
I think Walchuk needs to stop being so soft and just polishing the star.
Hey. Oh, my God. Like
Trader Joe's gave us all kinds of pumpkin-flavored stuff. Those batons over there are good.
Thank you, Trader Joe's.
They're fantastic.
My wife's obsessed with Trader Joe's.
Yeah. Because they don't have one in his neighborhood.
But it's close enough.
Hey, pug, can
it? Have you seen the new commercial HEB is playing where Santa Claus goes and he eats all the food and then he leaves a note on the refrigerator? He says, thanks for the HEB. They don't have these in South Dallas. He had just got done.
Hey, say that in the commercial?
Santa Claus had just got done delivering all the toys to South Dallas. And he's like, gosh, there's no HEB cookies here or queso.
I refuse to believe that's factual.
And then he's like, thank God I finally got up to Plano where the HEBs are.
I don't believe that.
That's awesome.
Let Mike control all the TV programming commercials for a day. With the commercials and the spots. Oh, and NBC 5, there it is. There's your next genius idea. We're back tomorrow with another Post Malone ticket giveaway, and we'll celebrate a win with Jerry at 8:30. KNC is next.
Open up your damn ears and listen.